Welcome to On Texas Football live chat, Longhorn live stream with Jerry Hamilton of Inside Texas and On Three. I'm Bobby Burton. We're going to be talking Longhorn football, Longhorn recruiting tonight. Going to have talk about DeMarvian Overshown. Jalen Hale is expected to make his decision tomorrow. Definitely want to get there. But I want to start by tipping my hat to Roschon Johnson. Roschon Johnson was named a finalist, a weekend finalist, I guess, for Player of the Week for the Paul Hornung Award, which goes to a guy that basically was the MVP of his team. Roschon, if you don't recall, had 11 carries for 81 yards. Bijan Robinson clearly had the better day on the ground. Roschon also had 3 carries for 23 yards and 1 touchdown. But here's a stat that will blow your mind. Okay, Texas had 22 first downs. Roschon, on 7 of his 14 touches, made a first down. So basically, he was responsible for 7 of the team's first downs. Pretty impressive stuff there. I want to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some improvement that we're seeing across the team right now with some older players. We've got a lot of questions to get to from the InsideTexas.com message board, as well as some other stuff. Before we do all that, I want to thank our newest sponsor, just coming aboard right now with us. And that's Energy Texas. Energy Texas is for Texans, by Texans. When Energy Texas becomes your energy provider, you're dealing with and calling people in the state of Texas, not back east, not overseas, Texans. We're proud to be from the greatest state in the union and prouder still to be fighting for the little guy against big power. Contact Energy Texas, Texas Electricity, done right. Jerry Hamilton, talking to you now here. Let's go with your thoughts on Roschon real quick, because that's a nice tip of the hat to Roschon Johnson, because he deserves it.
No question. I mean, look, I've said before, and he is maybe the first guy that's not a starting running back that's legitimately the leader of a program. I can't recall. Maybe you can, Bobby. I can't recall that ever being the case. None of anything he does surprises me. My time with him dates all the way back to his junior year at Port Neches Groves. First time I went and saw him, Kenny Harrison was the coach at Port Arthur Memorial, now at Summer Creek, and he told me, you got to go see this guy. He said he just checks every box. He's got really great parents. He said there's literally nothing you won't like about this kid. And, you know, I knew he was putting up stats. I hadn't been to PNG, but I went down and saw him, talked to Coach Faircloth, who's now the head coach at Sulphur Springs, about Roschon. He said the best leader he's ever been around. And that's like the constant. Then we had him in the Under Armour game. And that week, first guy to meetings, first guy on the practice field, last guy out of meetings, right? I mean, first guy to get taped. I mean, it's just consistency with him. And I think part of that, his great leadership, is his consistency. Think about that open practice we were at that Tuesday, Bobby. He was coming off what some people thought was a season-ending ankle injury. Then it was going to be 6 weeks, and the guy's out there with his jersey on. And he clearly couldn't compete, but that goes to his leadership ability. And we talked about that at Inside Texas. This is not a guy that's going to be standing on the sidelines with his phone out, chatting it up. He's going to be part of the action, part of every play, part of every second of a practice, even when he's injured. And that's what you saw at that Tuesday practice. That's his leadership. And if you said he gets a first down on half his touches, that doesn't surprise me. Because if you need 2, he's getting 3. If you need 3, he's getting 4. If you need 5, he's going to fight like hell to get 6.
You know, and he also played quarterback. You know, yep. Some of those snaps were out of a quarterback position. Everybody remembers the hurdle, right? Him hurdling to get a first and goal. I just keep going back to that one-handed snare of that. It was a short pass by Hudson Card, and at that point, Card wasn't strong. You know, he was missing some stuff. He didn't feel like he was really attacking the game. Roschon comes out of the backfield, grabs the ball with one hand, you know, stabs it basically, and there he goes. And then Texas was off to the races on offense after that, for the most part. And, you know, it wasn't just the wow plays in the run game or the hurdles. It's the little things too. And I think, Roschon Johnson is just an amazing Longhorn, that everybody can look up to. All right, let's go to a couple of questions. I think the most pressing one right now, Jerry, revolves around Jalen Hale. The wide receiver out of Longview is expected to make his decision tomorrow at 12:30 at Longview High School. Our Justin Wells of Inside Texas is going to be at the ceremony tomorrow. Hale is expected to choose among Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M. As you can see here, consensus number 10 overall player in the state of Texas, consensus number 10 wide receiver in the country, number 53 overall. He would be the fourth wide receiver recruit in this class for the Longhorns. What are your thoughts, and where do you think Texas stands right now for Jalen Hale, Jerry?
Yeah, first, I want to answer one question. I think it was Guerra asked if I was at home. No, I'm not. I'm in Tampa, but I will be back in Texas end of the week, probably at that. There he is. Gail Guerra asked, is Jerry at home? Nope, I'm in Tampa. I was at IMG today, Academy. We'll get to that. But I will be back in Houston probably for that Jonah Wilson versus Ryan Niblett game later this week. But Jalen Hale, you know, look, I'm not changing my RPM. It's on Texas. It's only 45%. It used to be 70. I adjusted that down. I'm not going to adjust it again before he announces. We've had a lot of questions on Inside Texas about that. I'm not adjusting it again. I think it's an 11th hour recruitment. Look, I think he's probably shot a couple of videos. I think he's probably told a couple of staffs he's headed that direction. I think Texas feels good about it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And look, let's talk more about if it goes Texas way. If it goes Texas way, I'm just of the belief that is where Jalen wants to be. He's close with Arch. He's close with Jonte, Malik Muhammad. There's a number of guys that are committed to Texas, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that he's close with. And look, the guy grew up playing AAU basketball for TJ Ford, right, with the TJ Ford Elite team. So there's a lot of things in Texas' favor. I think another big one is Steve Sarkisian has always targeted him. This has not been a recruitment that's gone through the ebbs and flows of does the head coach at Texas want Jalen Hale or not. He's always targeted him. So that, I think, helps at the end of the day. Look, Alabama got him on campus more than anybody else twice since the end of July, more than anybody else since that last weekend in July. Texas A&M did twice as well. He was at Texas for his official visit, obviously. The Alabama game weekend, which I think helped Texas. You know, it's interesting. We'll get into the IMG talk today, but, you know, it's almost like Texas won that game from a recruiting perspective in a lot of ways based on when you talk to kids. So which way it goes, we'll find out. I'm not changing my RPM. Will I be surprised if he goes to Texas? No. Would I be shocked or surprised if he went to Alabama? No. Would I be surprised if he went to A&M or Georgia? Yes.
Got it. So you think it's really Texas or Alabama at this point?
I'll be surprised if it's not one of those two.
Okay. I think that's fair. You know, in talking to Justin Wells, one of the things that he brought up, Jerry, and I want to get your feeling on this. He thinks that just how tight Jalen has gotten with some of the Texas commitments might be a big factor in Texas's favor. You agree with that?
I do, and I'll tell you the other thing is I think when you look at – if you're a wide receiver looking at Texas right now, and we'll see when Quinn hits the field again, but Texas is looking at Quinn Ewers at quarterback the next two seasons and Arch Manning, number one quarterback in the country, coming in the next class as an early enrollee who, you know, obviously Jalen's close with. Not saying Alabama doesn't have good quarterbacks coming after Bryce Young, but I'm not sure they have two like that. And so it's such an inviting – offense to a wide receiver or running back right now. And, you know, look, we interview Cedric Baxter and we hear that. Texas has really good quarterback play now and on the way, or it looks like with Quinn and on the way. And Hudson Card's an improved quarterback, right? So it's so inviting when you add the scheme to the quarterbacks for Texas that, you know, and then you add the closeness to the other commitments that, you know, things look positive for Texas, but Bobby, we've been doing this long enough to know. Look at Jordan Matthews' recruitment, right?
I agree.
Texas was confident the night before Jordan Matthews committed to Tennessee. So we're in the NIL day and age. So until these kids actually say it, you don't know. And then they still have to sign.
Yep. I think that part of the reality too, Jerry, is that these are all good schools. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Alabama, Texas, Georgia. You can say what you want about A&M. They've got some stuff going on over there right now. But, you know, these guys, they're all football places, right? Yes. And so Jalen Hale, I don't know that he has a horrible decision in front of him, no matter what he does. Hey, question for you. And you mentioned about the quarterbacks and Quinn Ewers. I think this is a question I need to take, kind of, because it came from the InsideTexas.com message board, and we'll talk about it now, asking me to kind of divulge what we know about the quarterback situation at Texas. This is what I'm willing to say. I'm going to say what Steve Sarkisian said yesterday. All of them practiced. Beyond that, not saying anything. Do I know more? Maybe. But I'm not saying anything, okay? And so I'm sorry about that, but Ewers, Card, Malik Murphy, Charles Wright, they all practiced. Card, it looks like, was fine in Saturday's game, so I don't think you have to worry about him giving way to Charles Wright. Will Quinn Ewers be back in time for Texas Tech? We shall see. But that is where it's at. Nobody's going to get me saying one thing or another or try to get anything out of me. Jerry knows this. I just don't talk when I don't want to talk. And so I'll clam up, but I want to say that for you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So that we have
Bobby, how funny is it the guy that's in, his handle's RL from Chatsville says he won't tell anybody.
Hey, you got to try. I don't mind people trying. Negative thing. I want to make sure people understand that there's things I won't do for personal reasons. All right. Let's talk of one thing that I want to get to you with. And that's the offensive line is another question coming. We're going to get to, if you have questions, by the way, please post them in the chat. Please also like and subscribe, like this video and subscribe to our channel here on Texas Football. If you have questions and you want them discussed or topics that you want discussed in this chat, me and Jerry are going to be here, or this live stream, me and Jerry are going to be here for a full hour tonight. I would love to get to those questions because I've got a bunch already pulled from the Inside Texas message boards, but there's always room for more. Jerry, let's go to the offensive lineman. Okay. Some people are wondering, you know, Cole Hudson and Kelvin Banks are already starting. Okay. What's going on with DJ Campbell, Cam Williams, the rest of those guys? And what do you think maybe a starting lineup looks like next year along the offensive line, when we think only Christian Jones is going to be gone?
Right. Yeah, I think it's obvious Cam Williams is not going to redshirt, right? He's out there on special teams. He's going to be he's getting prepared to play every week in case there's an injury. You know, unless I'm mistaken, DJ Campbell hadn't played the last two games, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, you could still get him in three games and maybe redshirt him. I don't see that, though. I just don't see that. Malik Ogbo, Neto, Connor Robertson, I think those guys are headed for appear in four games, but redshirt more than likely. So I think that's kind of where it's at. And I think next year is very interesting. It's hard to say right now. The question with Texas is, does a Cole Hudson or Connor Robertson, do they really compete with a Jake Majors for the starting center job? Because to me, that kind of is going to tell you how the offensive line is going to shake out. I think Cam Williams is a starting right tackle. Kelvin Banks is your starting left tackle. More than likely, Cole Hudson's going to be a starting guard. Texas is very happy with Connor Robertson. The progress he's making, his physicality, answering the bell. And, you know, where does Neto play? I mean, right now, he's kind of a swing guy between right tackle and right guard, correct? Malik Ogbo, left guard. So it's Hayden Connor's coming back, right? So it's just so interesting to see, because I really do believe this. No matter who starts next year, I'm not sure the offensive line isn't the strength of the Texas team next year. And how long has it been since you said that? And I say that because look how good Kelvin Banks is in year one through three games. What's he going to look like in year two? Think about what Cam Williams is going to look like after an offseason. He wasn't an early enrollee. So he gets some game action this year. He goes through spring practice as a starter. Think about Neto, Connor Robertson, all these guys, Cole Hudson in year two, Hayden Connor in year three. If Jake Majors is your starting center, he holds off. That means he's improved a lot, and he's continued to add good weight and muscle weight, and he's would be a third-year starting center. So Texas goes from, in a year and a half time, two-year time, goes from, man, a lot of questions there to this may be the strength of the actual team next year. Anyway.
It's not just at that position on offense, though.
Right.
I mean, let's be clear. JT Sanders is stepping
up. There you go.
I mean, so the tight end group for next year looks outstanding, in my opinion.
Yes.
You talk about the wide receiver group. They lose Jordan Whittington. I think he's proven to be a valuable piece of the roster, no question asked. But beyond that, it's only the two running backs, really. Yep. And yours is a year older. Baxter's coming in. Jonathan Brooks is looking good. I just feel like that side of the ball is looking pretty salty right now.
No doubt.
And you have guys that you don't even know if they're going to end up being good, like a Jai Hall, who has some ability. But we'll have to wait and see. I want to mention part of this. One thing that Eric and I talked about on today's state of the program, Jerry, and I want to get your feel on this, was talking about how this is an interesting, and we talked about it a little bit with Roschon Johnson. Think of the seniors on this team, okay? Despite all they've been through with Tom Herman and the changeover, you have Christian Jones having a breakout year. Keandre Coburn, best year he's had yet. Tavondre Sweat, best year he's had yet. Anthony Cook, moving to safety successfully. I'm Jordan Whittington, playing well. I mean, what do you think that says for the development, or does that say more about those players individually that they stuck to it, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both, and there's a reason I think Saturday's been the game I've had circled all year too, because then it becomes belief in winning. You know, the Alabama game gives you belief. You have to come back and back that up against UTSA. Now you go on your first road game of the season to start Big 12 play. If Texas beats Texas Tech, which we all believe they should, but that's why the games are played. Look, I mean, then suddenly you add confidence to that equation. You add a team that has more confidence than they've had in a few years at Texas. So I think it's player development, yes. But here's the other thing. Players only develop, and you're only seeing player development if they believe in what they're being taught and told. And I think that's the biggest thing with player development. Everybody thinks player development's off-season strength and conditioning, right? And it's a big part of it, yes. But to really develop as a player, Keandre Coburn, Sweat, those guys have to look at Bo Davis in that meeting room every day and nod their head and say, yep, this guy's taking us where we need to go at every position. And if you're seeing that in your football program, your players believe in your coaching staff. And that's when good things happen.
Deshaun Jameson, a couple pass breakups this past week.
Hey, here's one I'll throw up. Casey Kane.
Yep.
I mean, just think about going into last spring, I don't think he was on anybody's radar as a guy who was going to be an impact player for Texas. And yes, Isaiah Naylor got hurt. But Casey Kane's a solid player out there. Yeah, he only catches 1-2 balls a game. But you have a feeling he's going to have a game this year where he catches 5 or 6 balls for 100 yards. You feel like it's going to happen, whether it does or not. But you watch him, you say, okay, that could actually happen. That could transpire. So I look at a kid like that too, and I'll tell you a big one. You named them already. JT Sanders' development of tight ends huge. I mean, this is a guy who he split out. He played wide receiver in high school. He played defensive end. He played until he cramped up. He was tired half the snaps he played because he played both ways, plus special teams. But to see his development and tight end, that's a feather in the cap for Jeff Banks, Steve Sarkisian, and the staff.
Yeah. I just look at it and I think these guys are actually – like Texas in the past 10 years has signed some 5-stars, Jerry.
No question.
They just haven't ended up being 5-stars, right? And so now you see a Quinn Ewers come in and he looks as good as he looked against Alabama. Even though it was one quarter, you have a JT Sanders – that develops into a 5-star tight end prospect when he had never really played tight end before.
That's right.
And Bijan Robinson ends up being a 5-star running back that he was. That paves the way, Xavier Worthy is the five-star that he was ranked by On3.
Yep.
That paves the way for future guys to see, okay, Texas isn't where the five-stars go to die,
yeah.
Right? Which is had really happened after maybe Jordan Hicks, that range, that long ago, right?
I'll throw another one out. DeMarvion Overshown is, to me, that's not so much about player development, but a staff finding the way to use him to the best of his ability. And that is part of player development, is putting players in a position to be successful. I think the Texas staff is showing signs of that on both sides of the ball. Jalen Ford is not – I look at Jalen Ford. Look, he's not a perfect player, right? But what does he have, 25 tackles in the last two games? I mean, you don't – that doesn't mean he – obviously, he was a big part of giving up the big run against Bama, right? But 25 tackles in two games, that's progress as a player. He had 52 tackles last year. He's already got half that and more than half that in three games.
I want to bring this up because I think this is a good question. You mentioned Bo Davis's name and I was nodding in my head and this thought went through my head. After the Iowa State game, Bo Davis was surreptitiously recorded, I guess is the best way to put it, basically lambasting a lot of the players on the Texas roster about lack of effort and lack of care about win or loss. Do you think Texas has moved through some of those players? Do you think it's just another year in the system where they're more comfortable with their coaches? What do you think that is right now, Jerry?
I think it's a combination of both, honestly. But I'm going to say this to any Texas player that is watching this. I mean, Bo Davis has national title rings, right? Sarkisian has national title rings. Jeff Banks has national title rings. Kyle Flood. They've also Flood and Sark have coached in the NFL, right? Bo Davis coached in the NFL. If you can't buy in to these guys, then man, get on with it. Get out. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, guys that win national titles have coached on all levels. This isn't that hard, especially when you've been a very inconsistent team and program. So I think it's a combination of both. But I think there's probably some pretty good senior leadership on this team, kind of what we mentioned earlier. I mean, look, I love Roshan as a leader. You know that. I think when your best player, Bijan, is a totally genuine human being that, yeah, he's making great money off NIL, but he's also giving back to his teammates. I think there's some good things going on within that locker room and on that team right now. And I can tell you this from being around Roshan Johnson enough to know, if somebody's not giving full effort, he's going to kick him in the ass. This is his last year at Texas. He's not going out 5-7 unless there's a slew of injuries. He's not doing it. So that's what I would say.
I got you. Thinking of that, a question came in from Inside Texas that I felt like would be good here as well. Who's going to fill the void next year for Roshan?
That's a big one. And I think that is a legitimate question. And Bijan, the personality, right? Next year is a year, and we assume Quinn Ewers is, continues to be the guy. I think it's a huge opportunity for him to really take a huge step more. He's more of a actions guy, right, than a vocal guy. But he's going to have to be next year in that role, right? So I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for him. I think you could see, that it's a tougher one, man. I mean, look, Kelvin Banks plays confident this year. Kelvin Banks may be a big-time leader next year, right? He's going to be on all the preseason All-American teams if he keeps playing like he is, right? So guys are going to look to the guy that people are projecting to be a top 10 pick in two seasons. And he's got the personality for it. He's an all-business guy. He comes off like a professional. So I think it's a great question, and I'm not sure we exactly have the answer. But I can tell you this. One of the things I do think that Sarkisian and the staff are doing a really good job of is, look, I've been around Cedric Baxter now for a year. He's got great leadership qualities. Edgewater's 4-0. They shouldn't be 4-0. We'll see if they beat Apopka Friday. That's going to be one hell of a physical game. But look, they beat West Orange. they're probably not a more talented team than West Orange. They beat Orlando Jones 14-13 last Friday with Tashard Choice and Bo Davis there. They're not a more talented team than Jones High. So Cedric Baxter's leading his team, and he's doing it through actions and words. If you talk to the head coach, he's showing some of that leadership ability that Roschon Johnson's had, and he's doing it as a guy rushing for 250 yards.
Well, here's the reality of it. So I think Jaron Thompson would be one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, next defense year on
needs,
defense.
Defense needs some guys to step up.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's going to be a guy. The point, though, here that makes Roschon so interesting and unique is that, look, Jaron Thompson's a good player. I'm not trying to take any away from it. Roschon has some juice.
Yes.
So it's not just that he is a good player or a good leader. It's that he is both, you know. And so I don't want to take that away from anybody else. It's just that is a large void, to fill. I mean, we can sit here and talk about, oh, well, it's going to be this guy or this guy. It may not. I mean, because he's a truly unique.
He's a truly unique leader, a guy that played high school quarterback and willed his Port Neches Groves teams to a playoff win or two when they weren't clearly not the most talented team, right, outside of him. But then he's leading as a backup player at the running back position. It's just unheard of. I mean, so, and again, Bobby, like you said, whenever he comes in the game, if there's 4 yards that need to be made, he gets those 4 yards, and his teammates know he's going to get those 4 yards. So it's leading in the locker room and leading when your feet are on fire on contact.
Yep. I think he's a tremendous player. Marco Coronado asked about Jonathan Brooks. I love Jonathan Brooks. I've loved him since he was a recruit. Jerry, I remember calling Jerry the first time I saw him and said, hey, I think they got somebody here. And he was lightly recruited at the time, played both ways at Tiny Hallettsville, but ended up being fairly highly recruited after Texas offered. But just a guy that I think he almost never gets tackled by the first guy, right. Jerry. That's right. The thing about Jonathan Brooks to watch as you go forward. He does not have the ride out. Right. Of a Bijan, right? But he's got some good stuff to him, too.
I want to add to that. You know, we've given Tashard Choice so much praise, and he deserves it, right? Recruitment of said Baxter. I was at IMG today, talked to Jarrett Gibson, the number one 2024 running back, which we'll get to. But let's give Stan Drayton some props for the evaluation on Jonathan Brooks, because that was an early call. Stan Drayton locked in, liked the kid. So without Stan Drayton's early evaluation, he may not be at Texas. And I agree with you, Bobby. I think he's a really, really talented guy. I think the strength gain's huge for him, because if you looked at him in high school, he played safety. He played until he cramped up, right? He was that guy at Hallettsville. But if there was one thing about him that you knew he had to work on, he had to work on ball protection, because he's a long arm guy and it's hard to pocket the football. So the stronger you are, the better you pocket that football, because he carried it like a loaf of bread a lot of times because he could get away with it at that level. But again, he led that team to the state championship. I mean, so, and that's saying something in Hallettsville, Texas.
I want to get to a couple things. I want to talk to you about who you think the most underrated recruit is. I'll give you mine as well. I want to talk about possible flip candidates for the Longhorns. I want to talk about what you think about this trip to Lubbock for the Longhorns, your trip to IMG today. Before we do that, I want to make two pitches for you. InsideTexas.com is where Jerry and I both are. It's a $1 per month subscription, or $1 for 1 month right now at InsideTexas.com. Please come join us and give us a try. If you don't like us after the month, we'll say farewell and shake hands and say goodbye. But we think you'll want to stay. The second thing is we want to thank our newest sponsor, Energy Texas. Energy Texas is for Texans by Texans. When Energy Texas becomes your energy provider, you're dealing with and calling people in the state of Texas, not back east, not overseas, Texans. We're proud to be from the greatest state in the union and prouder still to be fighting for the little guy against big power. www.energytexas.com. Hey, Jerry, We look at all of this and we talk about recruiting and we talk about these games coming up that Texas is currently playing. Texas Tech has got a new coach in Joey McGuire that you know well from your days. I mean, from the high school days, right? Right. He was at Cedar Hill for so long before he even went as an assistant under Matt Rule at Baylor and then continued on under Dave Aranda. You know, he's in a situation out in Lubbock, where nobody has really had sustained success since Mike Leach. And he's not Mike Leach. Joey McGuire is not some wunderkind, offensive-minded guy. He's not even Spike Dykes, who was super folksy and really fit West Texas, right? So how does a guy like Joey McGuire that you've known forever, how does he make it work for himself out in Lubbock?
First, he's got unbelievable relationships with high school coaches. And I think it matters. And here's why I think it matters. You know, we're talking about Jalen Hale earlier. Well, that's a Texas, Alabama, Georgia A&M race. Texas Tech's not in on that kid. They're not going to be in on that kid unless it's a circumstance, right? A prior relationship, maybe family tree at Texas Tech. But where I do think, and I'm saying this because the NIL day and age, I think, has taken away some of those head coach important relationships. But I think when you go down to the next level of recruits, I think those relationships are huge with high school coaches and his staff's relationship. There's two guys, Jeff Traylor last week, Joe McGuire, coaching the state of Texas, that can call every high school coach, walk in every high school, and they're welcomed and they give hugs. And, you know, the high school coaches are cheering for those two guys to do very well, right? And so when you're recruiting against the TCUs, the Oklahoma States, Baylors, for 75-80% of the guys you're recruiting, I think those relationships matter. And I think they've got to be really good in early evaluation. I think they have to identify talent, and they have to get in on enough of the guys as sophomores to where the, you know, 6-7 blow up to that Jalen Hale level, right? And you kind of think they are, but you still recruit those guys because you never know who's going to portal. And that's when that relationship can help you. But I think that's the key. It is really is evaluating early, getting on enough of those guys early, because the hardest thing to do at Texas Tech to me is get the kids to campus if you're not outside the FW.
It's literally an 8-hour drive.
Right.
I mean, it's hard for people to make that happen. And, you know, that Texas Tech is a very, very hard job. And that's why, as much as they had, I mean, a guy had a losing record at Texas Tech and gets hired to be the head football coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be, that means that they think it's really, really hard. The NFL thinks it's really, really hard to win at Texas Tech.
No question. Yeah. It is. So two things I think have to happen for Joey to, you know, ascend maybe more than people think he can. One's hitting on a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
You always have to hit on that 3-star, low 4-star quarterback. Maybe it's a Baron Morton with another year coming from small school football, but they need to hit on a quarterback. They need somebody to be better than any of us thought he was going to be. And that elevates them. Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers at Cal, right? I mean, those type of things. They need to have an NFL quarterback come through. They recruited. They can elevate them from 6-7 wins to 8-9. I'll tell you where I think Joey can succeed is, you know, I think the most difficult thing right now is, what conference are you recruiting to? Where's this thing going, right? And so who am I going to be playing against? But then I think the other thing with Texas Tech, and I think this is the most difficult thing going in college football right now, unless you're a blue blood, is making good decisions in the portal. Because if you consider the guys that are going to portal down, I was actually talking to a head basketball coach in a mid-major conference today at IMG when I was watching the basketball workout. And he was saying, it's brutal to be a mid-major basketball coach right now. He said, whether you call them quitters or malcontents, the guys that are coming out of the portal wanting to come to you aren't necessarily the guys you want. And you can only have so many of those guys in your evaluation of those kids, the people around them. I mean, it's got to be so much due diligence to make the correct decision. So if you're at Texas Tech, people say, oh yeah, we'll build it through the portal like FSU did, right? And we're going to get Jared Verse and all these guys. But you have to make the right decisions on those guys, because a lot of the guys that are wanting to, I'm saying, come down towards you are not necessarily all the guys you want. So I think that is managing the portal is so difficult right now. For the colleges, the lower Power 5 schools, you better be really good at it.
You mentioned you were at IMG today for the football workouts as well. The Gibson, the running back. Rubel, the defensive back, they're in on him. Who all is Texas recruiting at IMG down in Florida? Those right now, whether it's 23, 24, whatever the year.
Those are the two main ones in 24. Jarrett Gibson's our number one running back in the on 300 for the class of 2024. And Tashard Choice has got Texas right there with Tennessee, Florida. Kids from Gainesville would have gone to Gainesville High, transferred to IMG. Florida's obviously a factor. But look, this, and I'm not saying it's trending to Texas with Gibson, but I'm also not going to just gloss over the Tashard Choice relationship after I did early on with Cedric Baxter, and I was completely dead wrong on that. So I know that Gibson was on campus in June. He really likes Choice. He wants to get back out there. He's watched Texas. You know, that's one where, you know, he said, look, Texas barely lost to Alabama. That's like a recruiting win for kids, you know, that Texas was at the point of beating Alabama. And the questions are, with all the kids and the media pundits, is, look, Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, Texas wins the game, right? Even you don't know what happens, but you know, you can, it's easy to go there. But then, you know, Rubel is the safety from Fort Worth area. He's been at IMG's his second year. He loves Texas. That's one where I think Texas leads. That's up to Texas to say, we're going to roll out the red carpet. And this guy, we want this guy to be part of the class. If Texas does that, I'll be surprised if he's not a part of the class. There's a couple of 2025 and a 2026 freshman offensive lineman down there that Texas offered early. We'll see, you know, where those go. Were those the early offers to stay in the game, or are those legitimate offers to where they're really going to push to get those kids to campus this spring and summer? I think that's where you really find out how serious Texas is. You know, David Stone, a big defensive tackle in the on 300 in the 2024 class. He's from Dell City, Oklahoma. He said he's had some texts from Steve Sarkisian. I don't think Texas is really making a strong move there. I think the, you know, it's Oklahoma, Michigan State. Is kind of the thought process of where that kid's going to, one of those two schools where he's going to end up going. So Texas maybe, you know, they may be keeping in contact with David Stone, but I don't expect that to go anywhere as of today.
Question from Anthony Bailey. Thank you for the super chat there, Anthony, by the way. What makes his staff recruit at this level, and can they be even better competing for top 10 kids at every position? I, you know, Jerry, you and I talk about this kind of stuff all the time about, you know, how is this staff position? I think Steve Sarkisian made great hires in the offseason. Stan Drayton took the head job at Temple. He replaced him with maybe the best running back recruiting coach in the country. Yes. Quite possibly in Tashard Choice. Didn't know he was that good at the time when he's at Georgia Tech, but he also got Jahmyr Gibbs to Georgia Tech before he transferred to Alabama this year. So, I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. And then you have Brennan Marion, who just coaches the Biletnikoff winner at the University of Pittsburgh, and Jordan Addison, and you get him to come in, and Marion already has been recruiting the state of Texas.
That's right.
For a number of years. And so, you know, I think that it's a couple things here, Anthony, as we talk about this. I think that it's Sark hiring the right guys first and foremost. These guys have to care about recruiting or they're not going to be good at it. So as far as top 10 at every position, they're recruiting at that level right now, period, I think. We just talked about Jalen Hale, 10th overall rated receiver in the country by the On3 consensus, and he's expected to announce tomorrow between Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama. We think it's either Texas or Alabama at this late date. But, you know, my point being that they already are doing that. I feel like they're already there, and part of it is the personnel that Sark has brought in to surround himself with. Kyle Flood already did it last year with the offensive line. Bo Davis has been in the trenches in recruiting, whether it's at LSU, Alabama, or Texas before. Jeff Banks been all over the map as far as recruiting is concerned. And so Terry Joseph comes in from Notre Dame, LSU. I mean, he's been all over A&M. He's been everywhere. Same thing. Those guys know what's going on. And how to compete at that level. And I think that's most important.
I want to throw something out, Bobby.
Yeah.
So I was sitting in the IMG football office today, and one of the top two guys at IMG football was actually in Austin last weekend for the Texas game. And we're just talking recruiting, and because they, you know, these guys go to every school, right? They go to all these colleges. And what he said was, and he brought this out. I didn't ask him. We were talking about a different college. And he said, you know who was impressive to me in their presentation, in their organization? He said, was Texas last weekend. He said, from the time I got there, I was welcomed there into the facility. And he said, when I left after the game Saturday, he said, everything was organized. It ran smoothly. It wasn't rah-rah recruiting. It was organized message recruiting. And he said, I've been to all these colleges. He said, I've met with all these coaches. He said, Texas really impressed him from start to finish with their organization and the professionalism they used in the recruiting process. And he has, 17 guys on NFL rosters from IMG right now? So he is very observant. He knows what he's looking at. And that was a pretty big feather in Steve Sarkisian's hat for me today, because that was unsolicited.
Well, I'm going to tell you that we got 500 plus people on here right now watching this video. I'm guessing 500 plus people are smiling hearing you say that, because that's exactly the way you want your university represented, right?
That's right.
You want to be, Texas is all about trying to be first class in everything they do. And, you know, representing yourself that way is a big deal. I want to switch gears a little bit. You and I have talked about this, and I mentioned it a couple minutes ago, and that's flip candidates, guys that you think Texas might have a chance to flip from other schools. It happens each and every year, so yes, it's conjecture. At the same time, it's real. I mean, it doesn't matter. It might happen from Texas to another school as well. So
Right. It's
just what recruiting is at some level. But take folks through some guys that you think might be flip candidates in the next month to 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, I think I'll start with a couple of defensive linemen. Look, Terrence Green, we mentioned, you know, he remains in contact with Texas. Texas did not bring him up for the Alabama game. We'll see what happens there. But Texas remains in contact with Terrence Green. Jamarius Brown, defensive lineman from Moss Point, who came in for a June visit. He committed to Ole Miss the day after the Texas visit. The people in the circle remain in contact with Texas. I think if either one of those guys decommits, then it gets very serious. We'll see what happens there. Texas isn't going to give up on Colton Vosick. I think it's a long shot. But, you know, these guys are going to recruit through the whistle. And they've proven that in the 2022 class. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, it's really going to be on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, so Anthony Hill, somebody asked about Anthony Hill. Absolutely. Anthony Hill's recruitment is not over. There's contact with Texas. So that would be one. Whether, you know, you think he's a five-star prospect or not, that there's a lot of juice and perception that comes with Anthony Hill if you were able to flip him from Texas A&M. So, yeah, Anthony Hill is one because there's still a need at linebacker. There's a need at edge. There's still a need in the secondary at corner. Safety Warren Roberson was a senior offer, but he's not committed anywhere. He's a big lean to USC, so could you flip him off that lean? Because he may as well be committed to some people there. So we'll see, but I think it's the defensive side of the ball is where all this is going to come into play. And look, I think Texas is in a good position here because we mentioned it before, there's good young talent at edge. Ethan Burke, Jamon Tapp, Finkley all played again Saturday, right? Baron Sorrell, he has plenty of time left at Texas, right? So they can be selective and stay on their top guys. And if not, maybe go get some help in the portal for a year. I think linebacker, they would love to add that an Anthony Hill as a high school linebacker prospect, right? I think that would be a big one to go with Samaje Burrell and Liana. So that's a perception recruitment as much as anything, and perception does matter in recruiting. So I think the defensive side of the ball is where it's at. And then look, Texas has to play protection too. Alabama's not backing off Malik Muhammad. They haven't backed off of him, right?
Not going to back off Derek Williams either.
Derek Williams. You think LSU, A&M, Alabama, they're not backing off that guy. He's one of the top three safeties in the country, and there's probably three legitimate five-star safeties in this class. That's a really good safety class. And if you look at it, A&M's, you know, hoping to get a Peyton Bowen or Derek Williams. They're hoping to snag one of those two guys, right? So Alabama's, like you said, is not backing off. LSU's definitely not backing off Derek Williams. Doesn't matter how many defensive backs they have committed. So Texas has to play a little keep away as well. I didn't mention Braylon Shelby. Look, I mean, a lot of people ask on Inside Texas all the time. I think he's a long shot. I mean, look, I know his mom wants him this close to home. The kid made a PowerPoint of why mama should let him go to USC. And if you look at USC right now, I mean, is there an easier path to the college football playoff than USC? And that probably means they'll lose this week because I just jinxed them. But their setup's pretty good, Bobby. I mean, they're going to win a lot of games and score a lot of points and kick a lot of butt. And that one's going to be tough.
He's the best coach in a conference where he has a distinct athletic advantage from a recruiting perspective. Yes. People don't realize just what advantage. I mean, USC is a lot like an LSU where you have this mass of talent and you're really the only game in town. I know UCLA fans might say something if there are any left, right? But Oregon may go into Southern California and Ohio State and Alabama and even Texas will try to take people out of there. But at the end of the day, nobody holds a huge recruiting advantage in Southern California like USC. And it is one of the top three or four areas in the country where a number of recruits come out of. And so I agree with that comment about them possibly having like an easier way playoff as we move forward. The question is how many
years are they going to be in the conference?
Well, I mean, because they're going to be moving to the Big Ten,
right?
And so as they move to the Big Ten, they're no longer in the Pac-12 where he is, I would say, the best coach out there.
Oh, yeah.
But then you start getting into guys with better players, frankly, at this point.
That's an interesting topic, Bob. We should go into it for a couple of minutes here. Because when Lincoln Riley got the USC, it's clear that outside of California, Texas was their target state. Moving to the Big Ten, is that going to remain the same? That's my question. Because remember when Nebraska left the Big 12 and moved to the Big Ten, Texas kind of went away. Same thing with Missouri going to the SEC and has crushed the Missouri program, by the way, leaving the Big 12. Because they used to get 8-9 kids from Texas in some of these classes, really good players.
It's really helped Nebraska clearly going to the Big Ten.
I mean, so does USC still target Texas the way they are now? Because now with Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC and A&M in the SEC and LSU in the SEC, do you lose some of your juice if you're USC because you're not in the Pac-12 out on the West Coast, which is a great visit for these kids? Now you're going to be playing a lot of your games in the Midwest. I think that's going to be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, we could talk for a day and a half on realignment and how it's affected recruiting over the years and still not get there. I'm going to ask you this. Your most underrated recruit right now.
That's a great question. I mean, we just moved Jonah Wilson up 115 spots, so I guess he's out. I'm going to go with somebody who's ranked 88 in the country. I think Samaje Burrell has a lot of Roschon Johnson in him. I think he's got a lot of those qualities. I think he has a chance to be the best pure linebacker Texas has had in a while. I think he's an early enrollee, so he's going to come in ready to go. You know he's got leadership. I mean, North Crowley's winning games, right? They're undefeated right now. They haven't had the best run over there. They just went through a coaching change late in the spring. I think, and after sitting down with him, you know, he's just got the leadership ability. He just sees things the way he talks. You just know even more than what you see on the huddle tape or when you go watch him in person, there's a little bit more to him. You know, he competes in the relays as a 210-pound kid. You know, he throws a shot put and competes in the relays. He's got a little bit of that Jalen Hurts, Roschon Johnson to him, right? He just plays linebacker. And
I've got three guys. And
I know Andre Kojo's one. Keep going.
No, it's not. No. It's not. It's going to be Peyton Kirkland.
Yeah.
He's not considered elite. And I think as a guard, he could be.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. I also am a big fan of Sadir Mitchell.
Yeah.
He is not ranked real high as yet nationally in the consensus. He is by some people, but I think he's only 199 in the consensus. He looks like a top 50 or so player in the country, potentially a young man out of New Jersey that's committed to Texas. And one of my most underrated recruits, and he's the number one rated recruit in the country.
I think so. I was wondering.
Arch Manning. What he did on Friday night, I was watching, they had a feed going, and you know, he was down 34-12 at half, Jerry, against a 5A team. What is Newman? 2A? What are they? 2A.
Yep.
You know, what 2A school in the state of Texas beats a 5A school in the state of Texas? Right. Is there one? I mean, Dangerfield, maybe. I mean,
maybe in 87.
Yeah, exactly. But you get my point. And he's done it two straight weeks.
Yeah.
They've done that two straight weeks. And so 34-12, they come back score. I think they end up winning 54-52.
Correct.
Look, I feel like people are glossing over just how good and talented he is, because there's been this stigma that he's just that way because of his name. And all he's done this season is prove that that's untrue.
Right.
They have a big test coming up this week against Manny.
And Will Randall's now out for the year. That's a big one for him. Again, going up against Manny, who's just going to out-man them. I mean, Manny's got some players.
Right. But he's got I think that the issue that when I say he's underrated in some ways, it's because people think that he's just there because of his name and don't actually watch him play. I'm pretty strong on that one, and I've been vocal about it.
And you know why I agree with you? He's making third and long where he's being flushed outside the pocket, and he's dropping the ball in the bucket. These aren't comebacks, right? These aren't 10-yard out routes. These aren't DB slipping. He's throwing the ball and dropping it in the bucket when he has to make the throw. And he's doing it on the move. He's done it 2 weeks in a row, rolling right, where people are saying, well, does his arm strong enough? Well, those are 50-yard throws rolling right on the money on 4th and 13 and 3rd and 15 or whatever for touchdowns. I mean, yeah, his arm's plenty strong enough, okay? I mean, what do people want him to do, throw it out of New Orleans? I mean, hit Ed Orgeron on a beach in Destin? I mean, what do you want him to do?
I completely agree. Speaking with Jerry Hamilton of InsideTexas.com, a national recruiting analyst also for On3. I'm Bobby Burton. I work for Inside Texas and have created this channel on Texas football. We really appreciate you guys joining us for this chat. Some people are saying that Alabama folks think that they've got Jalen Hale. We can't dispute that. But I can tell you that Texas doesn't necessarily think that to be the case. So let's wait until tomorrow. He announces tomorrow at his high school, 12:30. Justin Wells of Inside Texas will be there. Jerry and I will certainly be following along to find out what happens there. And that A-Bone is Andrew Bone, by the way. I know that's an interesting way to put it. One other guy I wanted to mention in recruiting that we didn't talk about, but I know you have a good relationship with his father because he's a high school coach, is Marcus Deal out of Neyman Forest up there in Garland. What's going on with him as of right now?
Official visit to Georgia this weekend. That's a big one. Trey Scott's recruiting him, has been recruiting him. So anybody that questions why was Georgia recruiting him as defensive lineman, only schools that are recruiting Marcus as a defensive lineman exclusively are on the list. So this will be his fourth official visit. His fifth official visit will come either in October or November. That'll be Texas or Oklahoma. Even if he makes an official to Oklahoma, he'll be back on campus at Texas. Somebody close thinks the official visit will be to Texas. We'll see what happens. I mean, he's been on the Texas campus probably more than anywhere else. TCU's still in there fighting on that one. I really think it's close to home, Texas, TCU, Oklahoma versus Georgia. I really think that's where this recruitment's at. I think USC and Arkansas are on the peripheral. And that's what it's going to come down to. Obviously, the Deal family prefers him close to home. Teacher coaches, right? I mean, you have Saturday film breakdowns. You were in the office on Sunday. So if your kid goes to Georgia, you're going to be watching him on TV much more than going to see him play. So obviously, it would make more sense for the family, or that there it makes more sense if he stays close to home. But we'll see what happens because, I mean, Georgia may be the hot team in the country right now, right? I mean, they won the national title last year, and they're absolutely kicking everybody right now. So if Marcus has that itch to get away from home, it'll be Georgia. If he stays close to home, I think Bo Davis has done a really good job in this recruitment. And I think that after the Alabama visit, I talked to two people close to Marcus, and the prevailing thought was everything Bo Davis has said from when he started recruiting the Marcus to now has remained true. And I think that's big. So there's a trust factor with Bo Davis in Texas.
Jerry, you're in Florida right now. What about Jordan Hall, Peyton Kirkland? Have you talked to those guys down there?
Yeah, I haven't yet. I'm going out to back to Orlando tomorrow. I'm going to see Peyton Kirkland there tomorrow. Jordan Hall, look, Texas is still talking with him. They've talked with him this week already. They'll talk with him again. It's all about getting the kid on campus for a visit. I think Georgia's could be tough to beat there. Alabama's lurking. Florida's going to be in it or on the list until the end. We'll see what happens there. But I think Texas, he told Chad Simmons a week ago, and I think, you know, everything I'm hearing is the same, that he does want to visit Texas. And, you know, look, Sadir Mitchell got him interested in Texas when he committed and then called the Texas staff, said, hey, recruit this guy. He has interest. And I think it's kind of gone from there. So we'll see if they get that official visit date set up. But right now, look, it's one of those recruitments that I keep updating the best I can until he sets the official visit date. It's a long shot, but once a visit date set and you get him on campus, then we'll see where things go. Right now, Georgia's been recruiting him a long time. Florida's been recruiting him a long time, and Alabama's just lurking.
I want to ask you two more questions. One's going to be about McCall Harrison Pilot.
Okay.
And that is, if Jalen Hill were to commit to Texas tomorrow, does Texas continue to recruit Harrison Pilot?
I think they're done at wideout if Hale commits tomorrow. I think they're done at wideout. That's the best answer I can give you.
Okay. So he might end up, if he wants to be in the class, it would have to be as an athlete / DB, whatever they kind of make room for him.
I think TCU's in that one pretty strong with Pilot as well.
Okay, got it. All right. The other question I want to ask you is just taking away and talking about Texas Tech as we come upon this. This week, you and I follow other schools, obviously, as part of our job. That's what we do. We watch players not just going to Texas, but they end up going to Tech or Baylor or A&M or wherever. You know, a couple names that you think Texas fans need to be aware of for Texas Tech this week.
That's a great question. You know, Tyree Wilson, a defensive end. I mean, Tech's got a couple of ends that can play. And the crazy thing is, you know, Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, obviously. But Tyree Wilson could be a high draft pick. So this is going to be another test for the Texas tackles this week, and another chance for Kelvin Banks to really elevate himself, right? I think that the ends for Texas Tech are the strength of their defense. I think they can sack the quarterback. I think they can be disruptive. You know, and after that, my question is if Donovan struggles at quarterback, does Baron Morton get a look? Because I just don't see how Texas Tech, if they can't throw the ball effectively against Texas, has a chance to really win the game other than being in Lubbock. And look, that's why the games are played. But if they don't throw the ball effectively against Texas, if they can't challenge the Texas safeties in the passing game, I don't see how they win the game. And so if Donovan struggles early, does Baron Morton, who's a better natural passer, get a shot? I think that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be contingent upon a lot of things out there. I really like Sir Roderick Thompson as a running back. I just don't think they give him enough running lanes. I mean, that, you know, watching that NC State game like I did, DVR'd it and watched it yesterday. I don't see a lot of running lanes for those guys. They're good hard runners. He and Taj Boyd both, but I just don't see it. So
to your point, this is a game where last year, I mean, look, going into this season, I know I wrote about on Inside Texas, one of the few actual football things versus recruiting I do. I said defensive line held the key to the season last year for Texas because it, to me, is the most talented team on the position on the team. And I stand by that today. I mean, it's only gotten better with Byron Murphy being a year older. If Alfred Collins ever plays up this potential.
He played better. He played some this past week and played a little bit better.
Evandre Sweat's looking like an NFL player this year, right? This is a game that you take these guys on the road and you win at the line of scrimmage against an offensive line that you said they're struggling creating the lanes. But you have to do that being disciplined with Donovan Smith. But this is a game, the defensive front for Texas they can go say, this is where you show how much you've improved in year two under Bo Davis and under PK and all and the staff, is you go out there and whip the Texas Tech guys in Lubbock in the mid-afternoon.
Jerry, I want to get a parting thought from you, but first I want to thank our sponsor, Energy Texas. It's a new sponsor for us here at On Texas Football. Energy Texas is for Texans by Texans. When Energy Texas becomes your energy provider, you're dealing with and calling people in the state of Texas, not back east, not overseas, Texans. We're proud to be from the greatest state in the union and prouder still to be fighting for the little guy against big power. EnergyTexas.com. Energy Texas, Texas electricity done right. Jerry, as we look towards the rest of this week in recruiting, Jalen Hale tomorrow, we've mentioned that right now we think it's Texas or Alabama. We don't have news that it's one or the other. We don't necessarily believe the Alabama reports at this point either. Not to say that we should, say that that's true. Jay, I hate to tell you this, but he may have committed on multiple visits. That's more than likely what has happened.
Yes.
With a lot of visits. Jerry and I've been through this. It happens on almost every visit at some level. Right. And so thank you for your super chat there too, Jay. The thing that I would counter with for the rest of this week, Texas needs to get healthy at quarterback. Let's see if Quinn Ewers and or Hudson Card, who takes the snaps. And if it is Ewers, if he really opens up the offense, right? Because yeah. What he started doing against Alabama led me and you both, and I think, 100,000 Texas fans to believe, wow, we may have a little something extra here. And Eric Nalane, publisher of Inside Texas, put it really well. With Quinn Ewers, football looks fun again.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get it right, because he was making some throws that you're just like, okay, the other team doesn't have a guy like that.
No, and he won the Heisman.
And they did with Bryce Young, by the way.
But Bobby, I was there. Bryce didn't make throws like that now.
Yeah.
Bryce was 0 for 6 on passes 15 yards down the field in that game, if I'm not mistaken. Quinn Ewers didn't miss a throw in that game. I mean, that was stuff that you watch on Sundays at 12 and 3 and Monday nights. That was different level. And I said this at the time. He made throws in succession with a Texas uniform on. I haven't seen there before.
Yeah. No, I think it's fair. But we have that. We have the quarterback situation. Yeah. We have going on the road, first time on the road this season. Relatively young team, particularly on offense. Not on defense, but on offense. So are we going to see some false starts? Are we going to see some home cooking from the refs? No offense, but I think we've seen some anti-home cooking thus far from referees, even those in the booth. We do not have any information, by the way. Somebody asked early, and I forgot to get to this. We do not have any information as yet on DeMarvian Overshown's appeal for clemency, I guess is the best word to put for the first half of Monday or of Saturday afternoon at Tech. But you put all this together and Texas is looking at a pretty big week. You and I circled this game a little bit. It starts conference play. If Texas wants to be in Dallas,
yeah,
the second week of December, they need to start by winning this game. It's a winnable game. And so it's got to get started now. And then they got to go out there with the same level of intensity.
Well, I hate to say it, I think it's a must-win game. It's a must-win game because if you want to have a chance to have that 9-10-win regular season, you can't drop this game. Because, look, Kansas is a better football team this year. Kansas has improved. Could you argue K-State maybe isn't? I don't know. Oklahoma State's solid, right? Oklahoma, as long as Dylan Gabriel's there, is going to be solid, right? Good offensive line. So this is not a game, if you're really looking to say, Are you going 7-5? You going 8-4? Or maybe that touch that 9 or 10 win season, regular season. You have to win this game. There's no way around it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's very fair. All right, with that, we're going to end it tonight. We went over a little over an hour, and we really appreciate you guys. Please hit the like button, subscribe. If you're interested, by the way, in advertising with On Texas Football, please email us at ontexasfootball@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you. That's ontexasfootball@gmail.com. Also, please like and subscribe and join us over at Inside Texas as well. $1 for 1 month at Inside Texas. Jerry, for Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks to all the Texas fans for joining us. We had a good time tonight, right?
All right. Absolutely. Great to have you.
Y'all take care, guys. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.